So first I want to start off with Romans 8:17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then co-heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That's amazing scripture for me. That is, we are sons and daughters of God. Point. And God is a king. God is the king. That makes us princes. That's awesome. Cool. So my first question there then is, what does a prince or princess have? That's a good start. Awesome. They have a crown. You can identify them. The king has a massive crown. The prince has a little smaller one. Still nice. But you can identify him. What else? Practically, not so tangible. What are they? Status. Yes. Authority. I like security. A lot of corsets. What? Okay, cool. Well, hopefully not the prince, but the princess, yes. Cool. Room in the castle. An inheritance. That's nice. Yeah. Responsibility. Cool. A horse. Yeah, a couple, probably. Cool. Okay, a couple of things I also said. Is firstly, like you said, they have authority. Because they are a son of God. Because they are son of the king. They have the authority. Normally, they have a ring the same as the king. And you can sign those letters. I like that. With the wax, and you just print it in there. But then the king would send his son typically to another nation to make treaties, to make financial treaties, to make treaties for not making war, to make peace, whatever the case may be. So prince have or princes have authority. And we have that authority as well. Jesus sits on the right hand of God, and all authority on this earth, in heaven and earth, has been given to him. And he says, because of I have all the authority, go therefore and make disciples. So we have that authority on this earth. We have that authority in our lives. At our workplaces, we must declare what we want to see there. When we go out, we must declare what we want to see in the streets. What we want to see here, what we want to see happening in our houses, not happening in our houses. We must declare and take that authority because we have the authority. If you walk into your work environment, don't take on the devil if you haven't been given that authority. But in your house, you have authority. You say what's there and what's not. At your work, because you are there, you bind stuff. You don't allow it to run around and create havoc around you because we have that authority. Okay, then I also said responsibility. With that cool authority comes responsibility. You are son of the king, daughter of the king, and there's certain things that you need to do. And also you have to behave in a certain way. So you probably have to wear shoes and stuff like that. Okay. Also what I said is training. I mean, from a young age, you get trained and prepared to be a king. So you do battle training. You do economic, diplomacy, political, whatever training, manners, whatever the case may be. But you get trained. You basically get discipled. And then also you are favored. If people will greet you nicely, people will do favors for you because you are the prince. They're not going to do the same maybe for their neighbor, but because you are prince, you are favored. And God tells us that we are favored. Point. And we must live in that. We must walk in it. We are blessed. That's also fun. God said we are blessed. We are his children. And we must ask God for that blessing wherever we go. And we must ask God that we are a blessing wherever we go as well. So I spoke about the authority a bit. We need to take up our authority. We need to walk in our authority. Our responsibility, especially in this kingdom. We are here to plant Shofar Utrecht. But not just for the sake of planting a church. We are here because God said we must be here. Because he has plans for this city. Because he has plans for this nation. And he wants to use us. So there's a authority in that. But there's also a responsibility that we have to take our place. In so many of the movies, you get princes that, I'm thinking of Braveheart, that king's son that was just not, he wasn't able to rule because he was just worried about his dress and archery and his friends. He wasn't worried about ruling the kingdom. His father, the king, had a certain vision and he just didn't care. He said, yeah, I also want to rule the entire place, whatever, but I'm not too worried about it. What my father wants now, I'm not going to do. I'm going to pursue what I want to do now. I'm a prince. I can choose. And I think for us as well, practically, we must just stay focused. And we must ask God, God, how can I build your kingdom and not my own? In the past week, in the next week, how can I build God's kingdom? A very practical thing I also thought about is just the person next to you. We are here in unity to walk together. Just making an effort in the week to come to pray for each other. To pray for the city. To make time for each other. To get to each other, to get to other people. School of Worship is the perfect opportunity now to invite people. But to invite people so that we can build relationship with them, so that we can share the gospel with them. Okay, this is still my intro. I also said a prince, like I said, he has a crown. And he also is recognized by his clothing. A king normally wears purple, the royal color, and a prince also wears the clothes of a prince. So in the olden days, when a prince would come past, you would know that is the prince. And that was the challenge with David and Jonah when they made the covenant. Because David went out as, or Jonathan went out as the prince, but when he came back, he looked like a schapachter, shepherd. Because when they made the covenant, they railed, they exchanged clothes, belts, swords, everything. So when he came back, Saul got a bit of a fright because here's his son, and now there goes David, and he is the prince. He looks like the prince. Everybody can see he's the prince. So it's also part of identity. If God says we are princes and princesses, then we should walk in it, and we should take up that identity. Okay, so why am I sharing this? Basically, what I just said, God has plans for Utrecht. In intercession, it comes out the whole time. There's a change coming now in the middle of the year for us as a church, and God is going to move. And all of us must make the decision if we're moving with God, if we're in or out, if we're going to do this, if we're going to run with it, or are we here and doing what we can. God challenged me to be straight today, so I'm going to be straight today. are we here building our own kingdoms? Are we here more worried about what we're going to do in the next 6 months than what God is going to do? Are we here and taking up our place, firstly as a prince? And are we walking in it? Are we allowing ourselves to be discipled? Are we looking to Dirk and Renee and saying, okay, on this place, they are our kings. What is their heart? What is their vision? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to make an effort to get to them. I'm going to look. I'm going to try everything in my power to find out how they want me to do this, how they want me to support them. But also, they as the king must give me the authority, the responsibility. So to really pursue their hearts and to get to them, the same I must if you're cell leader, but with your cell leader as well. Pursue that relationship. All of us are mature enough, we know this. But it's not the leader's place to come every time and spoon feed us. We're past that point, all of us. So we must purposefully pursue and find out what does our leader want from us? What is God telling our leader for us? God is telling Dirk-Jan and your leader things for you, but you need to go and find it out. Okay. So yeah, if we look at Matthew 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things, they're speaking about specifically clothing, riches, place to stay. God's saying there, seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. And I know all of us know this. I know all of us have heard this a lot of time. But God's just saying now, listen, we're going to step up the game a bit in the next 6 months. We're going to run now. And I need you guys to be in. I need you guys to be ready. I need you guys to be prepared. Because he's moving. And and we must all know and look each other in the eye and know the person next to us is in. We don't have to worry about, are they in? If somebody new comes into church, we can focus on them. We don't have to focus on the person next to us. This first six, or since August, God has said is building unity in the church, in us, so that we get to know each other, our hearts is right. But now a time is coming that he's going to use that unity and we're going to move. Okay. Then Romans or Revelations 3:16. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's a very scary one. That God puts there. But it's for us, for everybody in church as well. Is God's calling us to make a choice now. And maybe we have made a choice before and maybe we got a bit distracted in the meantime or whatever. But I just feel God is saying, choose if you want to do my will every moment of every day. And just, you probably all know this as well. But sin is just missing God's will. It's not doing the devil's will. It's not pursuing the devil. It's just, this is what God wants, and I'm just missing, just not doing that completely. Like Saul, when he went out, and God said, slaughter everything, animals, whatever. He came back, and the prophet was like, what bleating, probably said that wrong, am I hearing? And he said, no, I decided to save a bunch. And that was basically the start of the end of Saul's reign, because he missed what God said to him. So I want to encourage all of us to make sure we're on fire, that we aren't lukewarm, that we're pursuing God's kingdom and not our own at this stage. As I mentioned, we must decide if we're in or out for this next 6 months, especially. Are we ready to disciple others, to build God's kingdom? If God says, do this, doesn't matter if we understand it or not, are we willing to go? Are we willing to be bold and step out? And God is challenging me in all of this. So it's not me standing here knowing what the heck. God is challenging me as He is challenging all of us at this stage. Especially I want to share about the church. God has called us to plant Shofar Utrecht. He has called other churches to be here as well. And each church has their own function. We, as Shofar Utrecht, has our vision. It's on the poster by the door. To reach nations and generations. How? Through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. Is that your vision? Is that what you pray for? Is that what you are focused on? Because we are the church. So if that's not our vision, then we're missing a bit. Next up is our core values, the things that define us. This is who makes us who we are. Or this is the stuff that God has said, this is what I want you to focus on. Power of belief. Power is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Profound belief sustains this inspiration and makes for change, growth, and accomplishment. Purpose to pursue. Purpose is an inheritance everyone has from God. It is a uniquely crafted, person-specific progression of assignments. Finding and engaging it brings the reward of ultimate affirmation. Passion for Jesus. Passion speaks of the love for Jesus, the Father's emphatic, blazing love to and through us. This love lends legitimacy to who we are and what we do. People to serve. People are our core business. To serve them flows naturally from our passion for Jesus. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow others. I don't know this out of my head. But God is challenging all of us to notice. Because this is who He has called us to be. This is the stuff that makes us who we are. This is the building blocks of who we are. This is the things we're going to reproduce in other people. And if we don't know this, if it's not in us, if it's not part of our DNA, we're not going to reproduce it. Okay. And then four core areas in church. This is basically the stuff that God has given to us and blessed us with and gifted us with as shofar to disciple people and to be discipled. Church services. I was actually asking God now in the worship, yes, God, did I miss it? Because the people that I have in my mind must hear this, aren't you? I'm preaching to the choir. And God says, no, He has the people here that He wants to. Maybe there's other people, I don't know, that should have been here as well. But it's for us as well. So church services. This is where we come together and praise and worship God. Where He gives us direction. Where we meet new people. Where He teaches us. Where He grows us. Small group. This is that people to serve. Because of our passion for Jesus, we love people and we want to serve people. And small group is one of the core places where that happens. Yes, it happens outside as well. It must happen outside of small group as well. But small group is not a maybe or if I feel like it. It's who we are. I'm there because there's five other people that God wants me to love. It's not for my sake that I'm at small group. It's not for my sake that I'm there. Okay. It's the others. Foundations, encounters. That is shortcuts to growing to maturity that God has blessed us with. That's insane. And most of us have done it. God wants us to be ready to present that to a lot of people. We need to be ready to present it. We need to be equipped. So I want to encourage us, let's do it again. Let's speak to the people in ourselves that hasn't completed it. That it doesn't just come from leadership. All of us are leaders. All of us are mature. We're still growing in maturity, but yeah, we've been there. Don't let the leader just speak to people and disciple people in the small group. Focus on discipling them. Ask them, listen here, have you done this? Come along. This is amazing. Share your testimony. Share with them your heart, why you want them to do this. It's not to do a stupid course. It's because it's life-changing. It's what God has given you. And if you're here, it's what God wants to use, a tool to change your life, to equip you, to equip others. Last one is Bible school. 3 years of Bible school. Really amazing. And we're looking at presenting it in September. We're still praying about it when the new academic year starts. And you guys are probably going to be some of the teachers if you're here. but let's focus on leading people through those stuff. It's not just cool courses. It's what God has gifted us with to disciple these people. To every church, He gives a different gifting, a different tool, a different way. So for other people's sakes and our sakes, let's focus on what is God has called us to be, who we are, and that we walk in it, and walk in it boldly, because we love God and we love people. Okay. And that is basically my sermon. Cool. So I want to pray for us. If we can all stand, please. Father, we just come and say that we stand here today because of you, Father. We are here today because of you, Father. We want to draw close, Father. We want to build your kingdom, Father. We want to see your kingdom come, Father. I just feel God is saying, you are my sons. You are my daughters. You are my plan for this earth, for my kingdom to come on this earth. You have been chosen. You have been raised up. You have been like the bricks that I saw during the worship. God has shaped you. God has formed you. He has baked you. He has prepared you for your place. And it's not just, you know, it's like a road. If there's one portal, if there's one brick out of place, it's messed up. And God is saying that you are needed to fulfill your place in this kingdom because He has chosen you, He has anointed you, have gifted you for this time to fulfill your place, to run the race, to build His kingdom. It's not just for your sake, it's for all the other people in the city that you are here. That He has delivered you, that He has healed you, that He has redeemed you, that he has prepared you. It's because he loves you, but also because he loves all the other people that he has placed you here. So in the name of Jesus, stand up, rise up, take your place. Step out of that place of fear, of intimidation, of being timid, of being self-focused. For all of us, let's step out and take our place in the name of Jesus. Let's proclaim God's kingdom to come in the name of Jesus. Let's pursue his kingdom in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we stand here tonight, Father, you're just showing me the picture of, it's not a bunch of people standing in a little church. It's a bunch of special warriors that you have specifically equipped, knights, like in the olden days, with special armor, special weapons, special horses that can send the army to flee, that can, with 6 or 8 normal people, will be overrun by 20 enemies. You send one knight to send 20 people to flee. That all of us together, you can send into the city to take the city for your kingdom's sake. So Father, we just come and proclaim today, Father, we are here, we're stepping up, Father. We want to be in your army, Father. We want to be perfectly placed where you want us to be in the army. Just like in a rugby team, when there's a scrum and there's 8 people needed, if there's no prop, it's going to be messed up. And Father, that's what you're saying to us today as well. Each one of us has been called to stand in their place to make one strong unit. So I just speak over all of us. You will stand up. You will raise up. You will run and not grow weary. You will hear God's voice. You will do his will. You will run through walls without getting hurt. You will break down strongholds. You will proclaim that this is the day the Lord has made. That Jesus is coming. That Jesus has died. You will proclaim to people that haven't heard the gospel. And they will hear God's voice. In the name of Jesus. Amen.